Thank you for leading us in singing, and even thank you, Ellen, for hobbling front. Praise the Lord. There's no stopping ministry. Kids, come on up. We need some kids this morning. I've got questions. Good to see you guys both here. Praise the Lord. Good to see this young man. You saw me on my motorcycle yesterday, didn't you? You said, "Hey, Pastor John," and I said, "Hey." All right. Question for you. Things people build. Things people build. What's something people build?
Houses.
Houses. People build houses. What else?
Churches.
Churches. Very good. What do you know?
Buildings.
Buildings.
Cars.
Cars. Very good. Do we have any Samuel Joseph? Things people build. Do you know? Cars. Bicycles, Grandpa said. What else? Toys. People build toys. What else? People build families. People build marriages. People build businesses. All right, so here's my question. Here's my question, the big question. Does it matter how people build what they build? Does it matter how you build a house or a car or a bike? Does it matter how?
No.
No, there's one answer. It doesn't matter how you build.
Yes.
There's another answer. Yes. Any other answers between yes and no? Maybe. Maybe. So, for example, let's say that we go out front here on a day when it rains and we have the Toochee River flowing out front here, which is the river that flows down Toochee Avenue, okay? And let's say we want to build a house on the water out of silly putty.
Yes, it does matter.
Oh, it matters. What do you think? Does it matter?
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. It would also be silly. Because the house would flow away and the silly putty would eventually dissolve and it wouldn't last.
And also, if you slept in that house, you would get sucked into it.
That's right. If you slept in that house, you get washed downstream. I'll tell you what. It definitely, when it comes to building the church, it definitely matters. And we need to think about that today, okay? It definitely matters how we build. All right, head on back or head on up to Children's Church, wherever you're headed. And if you would please take your Bibles and open with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we're in chapter 3. And we are going to talk today about building. In fact, as I read these verses in 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. See if you can count how many references there are to building. How many references are there here in 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 17 to building? Paul writes this to the church at Corinth. The Spirit of God speaks to us today with these words. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. How many of you have ever had work done for you? Maybe you've had someone build you a house or put on an addition. Maybe you have had someone remodel a bath or remodel the kitchen. Maybe you've had someone install new windows or new doors, or maybe you've had them redo the floors. That all rhymes, by the way. Does it matter how they do the work? Have you ever had shoddy work done? We have. And I can tell you this, shoddy work is never a welcome thing. You want it done right. Preferably, you want it done right the first time because it's important. And you want whatever work is done, whether it's your house or your lawn or your garage or concrete work, you want it to last. Well, let me tell you, it's no different with our Lord. He does not welcome shoddy work. And He speaks to us here about building very specifically the temple of God, which Paul says you are. He talks to us here about building the local church, building up the body of Christ. In the text that I just read to you are 20 plus references to building, whether the process or building materials or buildings. 20 or more references. God is speaking to us here about building up His church. And at the heart of all these words on building is this warning in verse 10. End of verse 10. But let each one take heed how he builds. There is no on it there, though it's implied. Let each one take heed how he builds. Let each one take heed how he builds in the local church. Now, building here is a metaphor for Christian ministry of every kind. Building is a metaphor for evangelism and for discipleship. Building is a metaphor for teaching your children and your grandchildren to follow Christ. Building is a metaphor for living out your Christian life at home or at work. It's even a metaphor for giving to the cause of Christ. It's a metaphor for all our labor to build, strengthen, establish, and protect the local church. And God, in His grace, has given to each one of us both gifts and wisdom to work. The warning here is, take heed. If you want one main truth, and I often like to think, is there one main truth in the passage? Here it is. Every Christian must learn to take heed to how he builds. You and I must learn to take heed to how we build the church. And that begins at home. It begins in a marriage. It begins in the family. But it also is how we build here in the church. We need to understand the warning of verse 10 very well. We need to know what it looks like to take heed. I would guess that if you are a Christian, you want to take heed. You want to be careful. You want to be wise. We need to know what that looks like. And so to that end, we're going to look first at Paul's ministry this morning and then at yours and mine. That's really how this passage breaks down. If you look at verse 10, the first half, Paul talks about his own ministry. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. That's Paul's ministry. And all the rest of the passage concerns our ministry and the ministry of anyone and everyone who would build for Jesus Christ. So very simple outline. Let's look first at Paul's ministry and then at yours and mine. Paul's ministry, verse 10. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Let's stop there. Paul is telling us how he built because his work, his labor, is a pattern for our own. So I want you to notice three things about Paul's pattern for ministry because they will be the same things that apply to ours. First, notice that Paul was faithful. He says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me. You see that there? Verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me. What grace of God is he talking about? Is he talking about forgiveness of sins? That's the grace of God, isn't it? Forgiveness of sins is a beautiful, wonderful gift. Is that what he's talking about? No. No, actually, Paul is not referring here to the new birth, to forgiveness of sins, to justification. He is referring here to spiritual gifts. Turn back to chapter 1, verse 4. Chapter 1, verse 4. Paul said from the very start of this letter, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you. Exact same words, speaking to all the saints and referring to something specific. Notice what he says. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. What does he mean? Well, that you were enriched in everything or in every way by him in all utterance and all knowledge. You remember we studied these verses and we understood Paul was talking about spiritual gifts. God had given to the saints knowledge about Christ and the ability to communicate that knowledge to others for the building up of the church. He says, verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift. When Paul speaks about the grace of God given to them in chapter 1, verse 4, and again when he speaks in chapter 3, verse 10, about the grace of God which was given to him, he is talking about spiritual gifts. And what he is showing us about his own ministry is that Paul labored in accordance with the gift that was given to him. He was faithful. He did not neglect the gift of God. He did not despise the gift of God. He did not set the gift of God on a shelf and go do something else. He says, no, according to the gift of God which was given to me, this ability to preach and teach and serve God as an apostle, I labored. And the truth is that you, if you are a Christian, you have been given a gift. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities. We all may do very different kinds of things to build up the body of Christ, but it is the same God who works all of these things in all of His people. Verse 7 of chapter 12, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. How did Paul minister? He was faithful. According to the grace of God given to him, in accordance with the gift that God gave him to labor for the church, Paul labored. Notice, second of all, he was wise. Verse 10, he says, according to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Paul was wise. As a wise master builder tells you how he labored. He labored like a wise master builder. By the way, Paul is not boasting here. He's not saying, well, look at me. I am a wise master builder. He's not boasting. In the previous verse, he already said he was nothing apart from God. Remember that? Who is anything? Neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but God who gives the increase. He's not boasting. He's simply saying that according to the grace of God, he labored like a certain kind of person. He labored like a wise master builder. The Greek word for master builder is interesting. Architekton, from which we get architect. But do not picture some guy in a suit and tie who never picks up a hammer and saw. Not at all. Picture Paul, who was a planner and a doer. He would plan where he was going to go. He would plan what he was going to preach. But then he would go and he would roll up his sleeves and he would work to lay the foundation. And yes, he had a team of others. And no doubt he was calling them saying, hey guys, come on, let's preach Christ. Let's go out again today and let's preach Christ. Paul was wise. He was wise. He preached Christ wherever he went. He prayed for opportunities to preach Christ. And he constantly asked the churches, pray for me, brethren. Pray that boldness and open doors and opportunity would be given to me for the gospel. That's wise laboring. Praying and calling upon others to pray. He was laboring like a wise master builder. So what have we seen? He was faithful. He was wise. But third, and perhaps most importantly, he was very careful. Notice he says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And if you want to know exactly what that looked like, go back to chapter 2 and look at verses 1 and 2. And you see here how careful he was. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was very careful when I came to evangelize that I kept the focus on Christ, who He is, and on Christ, what He did. Why? Why was He so careful? Look down at verse 4. My speech, chapter 2, verse 4, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? So that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men. That would be bad. But so that your faith would be in the power of God, a reference to the gospel, which is the power of God and salvation. Paul was very careful. Like a wise master builder, he learned what to do, what not to do, what to use, what not to use. And he was faithful to labor for Christ in accordance with the gifts that were given to him. That's Paul's ministry. Now let's talk about yours. And what do you think I'm going to say? I'm going to say, be faithful. And I'm going to say, be wise. And I'm going to say, be careful. Let's start with the last one first. First of all, be careful. Be careful. Look again at verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, another like me. And he is not referring here specifically to Apollos, although Apollos came after him, remember, and he did water the seeds that Paul had planted. He means another like me, and there are many. And he widens the scope to talk about anyone who would labor for Christ. And you'll notice in the verses that follow the word anyone. Verse 12, now if anyone builds. Verse 13, each one's work. Verse 14, if anyone's work. Verse 15, if anyone's work. Verse 17, if anyone defiles. Paul is speaking here in these verses about anyone who does anything in an effort to build up the body of Jesus Christ. And building here is a metaphor for any ministry you do in an effort to build up the church. And so this is applicable to every Christian and applicable to everything you ever do. It could not be more practical, so please pay attention. He says, another builds on it, referring to every Christian who has been given this same grace of God to be involved in the Lord's work on earth. And so let me just stop for a moment and ask you, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? If you are not a Christian, then one of the evidences that you are not a Christian would be you really have no genuine desire to labor for Jesus Christ and build up the local church. That is not on your radar. That is not on your list of top priorities. It is not something that keeps coming up in your mind and in your prayers. You do not think day in and day out, what can I do for Christ to build up the local church? That would be an evidence that you are not Christ's and that the Spirit of Christ is not in you. And if you are not a Christian, let me say, you are without hope in this world. You are without God. You are without forgiveness of sins. And there is no hope for you save one, Jesus Christ. And today, not tomorrow, today is the day of salvation. God gives you no promise that tomorrow is the day of salvation. He says today, that which means now. And so I beg you, if you're here today, and if the truth is, if we could see it on a screen here, your desires, your motives, your priorities, if we could see on a screen that it is not to live for and labor for Jesus Christ, then I call upon you right here, right now, to confess your sin to God and to cry out to Him for mercy. call upon the Lord and you will be saved. I have good news for you. That if you will call upon the Lord, you will be saved. And He will pour out His Holy Spirit upon you. And you will receive blessing from the Lord. And grace will be given to you, both spiritual gifts and wisdom, to labor for Christ to build up His church. That's good news. He will radically change your life. And one of the changes will be, you will want to invest your life to build up the local church. Because Jesus Christ is not building anything else. He's building one organization. In the world today, it is His church. He said, I will build my church. He did not say, I will build my skateboard park, though those are cool. He did not say, I will build my business. He did not say, He just said, I'll build my church. So are you a Christian? If so, then I know your heart is to labor for the Lord. And when you hear something like, let each one take heed how he builds, your thought is, Lord, I want to take heed. Help me to take heed. Help me to know exactly what that means and what that would look like. So let's work on that. I have three words of advice for you so that you might take heed how you build. First, be careful. Be careful. For, verse 11, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Please do not picture a massive building sitting on top of a weak Jesus being crushed. Picture instead a world of people who rest all their hope, all their faith, all their future completely and firmly on Jesus Christ and on Jesus Christ alone. Picture people whose faith is rooted and grounded in Christ. That's the idea. And when Paul says, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ, he means Christ, His person, and His work. So let's just answer two questions very quickly. Who is Jesus Christ? We need to know who is the foundation of the church. And what did He do that makes Him the foundation and the only foundation of the church? Well, Jesus, let's take Jesus first. J-E-S-U-S. The J-E stands for Jehovah. Every Jehovah's Witness will deny this truth. They build on a different foundation. They build on a different Jesus. They are not building up the church, okay? J-E stands for Jehovah, Yahweh, the mighty God. And Jesus Christ is Almighty God. He is, as He Himself said, the great I Am. And unless you believe that truth, unless you believe the truth that Jesus Christ is eternal God, you cannot be saved. Jesus said in John 8:24, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And so again, let me say to you this morning, if you believe in a Jesus who is not eternal God, the one and only true Almighty God, you believe in a false Christ. And the only hope for you is to confess your sin to God for believing in a false Christ and turn. And if you confess today and repent, you'll be saved. And you'll know the one true God. Jesus Christ. Who is He? J-E-S-U-S. The S-U-S is for saves. Yahweh saves. Jesus means Yahweh saves. Jehovah saves. The Lord saves. And there is salvation in no one else. That's why He's the one foundation. Acts 4:12. There is salvation. It's interesting how that's stated, right? Hey, there's salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved, apart from the name Jesus. Yahweh saves. So He is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ means anointed one. And He is the anointed one spoken of throughout the Old Testament, the one who is anointed by God from above with the Holy Spirit to be prophet. God speaks to us in Christ. Priest, He is the only mediator between God and man. There is no other priest or high priest by whom you can be saved. Prophet, priest, and king. Jesus is king. The coming kingdom will be submitted to Jesus Christ. That tells you why he is the foundation of the church. What did he do? What did Jesus do? It is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. That's what he did, 1 Timothy 1:15, among whom Paul says, I am chief. Philippians 2:6 says, although he was in the form of God, exactly equal to God. Okay? Jesus was in the invisible form of God, exactly equal to God. Why? Because he is God. Nevertheless, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Anybody remember the baseball illustration? That's my favorite illustration of the last year. I won't go over it again. But anyways, you know, if you catch a ball that was hit by Barry Bonds over the fence in San Francisco, that ball is going to be worth $1 million. And you're going to count it a thing to be grasped. There's no way you're letting go of that thing. But Jesus did not count his equality with God a thing to be grasped. Instead, he let it go. And what did he do? He made himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a bondservant. He came in the likeness of men and found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself even lower and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And therefore, as you know, God has highly exalted him, right? And given him the name that is above every name, which is not the name Jesus, though that name is above every name. Instead, it's the name Lord, Yahweh. Gave him the name that is above every name, that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And no one can confess that Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. We'll see that in 1 Corinthians 12. So what is Paul saying? He's saying, verse 11, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So why does he say, take heed how you build? What's the danger? The danger is to depart from that foundation and build on something else. The danger is to depart from Christ and him crucified and try to build on some other foundation. He does not say in verse 11 that no one can try to lay another foundation. Oh, people try all the time. And there are many churches for which the foundation is not Christ, and they are not true churches because they are not built on Christ, the Son of God. The danger is to depart. You know what? Over the years, I've heard quite a few people ask a question like this. Do you think it's okay to hang out with my buddy who's a Jehovah's Witness? Do you think it's okay to hang out with my buddies who are Mormons at the Mormon Tabernacle? Do you think it's okay to hang out with, spend a lot of time with, listen to a lot of sermons by, and then they name whatever, mixed up false religion. Here's my question, if that's a question for you. Here's my question to you. If you did that, what command of Christ would you be obeying? There is none. So let me ask you this. What commands of Christ would you be disobeying? Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets. Matthew 24:4, take heed that no one deceives you. Mark 13:5, take heed that no one deceives you. Luke 12:1, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Luke 17:3, take heed to yourselves. Luke 21:8, take heed you don't be deceived because many will come in my name. Do not go after them. Do not go with them. Do not believe them. These are the commands you would be disobeying if you decided you were going to hang out with people, as, you know, we're just hanging out, we're just having, whose Lord is not Christ and who would love to see you come over to their side. I haven't finished the list. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, my fellow elders, Acts 20:28. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers, speaking of false teachers, Philippians 3 verse 2. Beware lest anyone cheat you, as in cheat you out of Christ, through philosophy and empty deceit, which is according to the tradition of men, or according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. And all these words, beware, 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 pretty much the same word you see here, take heed. Be careful that it doesn't happen to you. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. There's a danger of you falling away from Christ and of leading others to fall away from Christ. 2 Peter 3:17, speaking of false teachers, beware lest you fall from your steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. That is a short list of the commands of Jesus Christ that you would be disobeying if you think, like some naive child, that it's okay to, I'm just going to visit the Mormon temple this, and well, next I'm going to visit the Seventh-day Adventist. I'm going to visit the Jehovah's Witness. I'm going to invite them in, have tea. That's crazy. Beware. Take heed how you build. Be careful that you never depart from Christ. Take measures that you do not stray from the church's one foundation. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. On Christ the solid rock we stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness, Jesus' blood and righteousness, right? We need to learn the words to our hymns. Yeah. Second piece of advice for you. What do you think it is? Be wise. Thank you. Good for you. Be wise. Look at verses 12 through 15. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, then each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. All of this says, you better be wise, and to be specific, you better be wise about what? You better be wise about what? Well, look at verse 12. Paul lists, help me out, what are gold, silver, stones, wood, hay, and stuff? What are these things? These are building materials. Very good. These are building materials. Things with which you might try to build. They are clearly in two categories. Building materials that will burn. Building materials that will not burn. Gold, silver, precious stones. You have a fire, you still have gold, silver, precious stones. Depends how hot the fire is, I suppose. Other building materials, wood, hay, and stubble, are building materials that will not endure. They will burn. You could also divide them in these two categories. Building materials that were used in the building of the temple in the Old Testament, gold, silver, precious stones. Building materials that were not used in the building of the temple in the Old Testament, wood, hay, and stubble. Clearly, building materials, clearly two categories, and I hope that it is no surprise, because Paul has been repeatedly talking about two things with which you might build, one of which is very good and one of which is very bad, and I hope you know what it is. But I'll tell you, just in case you would fail the test. The wisdom of God and the wisdom of man. That's it. Be wise. Because you will be tempted to build with the wisdom of man. But Paul was very careful, saying in chapter 2, verse 6, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Where are you getting it, Paul? Not the wisdom of this age. Not the wisdom of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. There's no way we build with that wisdom. God has shown that wisdom to be foolishness. So let me ask you this. Do you think there's a temptation in the church to build using the wisdom of man? Do you think there's a temptation? Oh my! Why? Because that's what the Gentiles want. That's what everybody in the whole community wants. Look back at chapter 1, verse 22. Jews request a sign, and that means they request and they keep on requesting a sign. Show us a sign. And there's a temptation in the churches to want to give them a sign. And many churches these days are built not on Jesus Christ, they're built on signs. The things that supposedly Benny Hinn or Ken Copeland or whoever the false teacher is, that supposedly they can do. Of course, you can never verify it because everybody says, I had a sore neck and he healed me. Well, how can we know you had a sore neck? Well, you can't. Just trust me and send your money. But what do the Greeks seek after continually, verse 22 of chapter 1? The Greeks, they seek after wisdom, not God's. Oh, they just constantly seek after how-tos. Well, tell me how to make money. Tell me how to invest in the stock market. Tell me how to. And there is a very strong temptation for pastors and church leaders to give the people what they want, which is not Christ crucified and is not pure Scripture, but something else. Did anyone read the front page of yesterday's Life and Religion section? Well, grab it out. I know Claire did. And we saw it, but we saw quite a few weird things there, as typical. But at the bottom, we saw the Pope's 10 suggestions for how to have happiness in the world. You will not find, you read it, you will not find Christ. You will not find Scripture. You will not find truth. And you will not find the Word of God accurately quoted. You will find Aristotle quoted at the beginning of the article, saying that the purpose in life is to find happiness, and the Pope's 10 suggestions on how you can have it in this world completely without Jesus Christ. That is completely false. And I tell you, beloved, be wise. If you are going to do anything to build the Church of Christ, if you're going to do anything to build your family on Christ, if you're going to do anything to build your own life on Christ, use the Word of God, the pure Word of God. The wisdom of God and not the wisdom of men. And that applies to everything you do. I'm not just saying use the Word of God when you teach others, which use the Word of God when you teach others, but use the Word to guide you in your own decisions. Where you're going to go, what you're going to do, what you're going to say, how you're going to say it. You should be constantly growing in the wisdom of God so that when you work to build up the Church of Christ or your family, you're not using wood, hay, and stubble, because I'll tell you what, in the end, it's going to be seen what you used. And it's going to, you know, there are big churches today that are building not on the foundation of Christ and not with the pure Word of God. They are using man's wisdom and they're building on a different foundation. And boy, they look successful. And it looks attractive. Like, man, you go over, hey, how can we be big like you guys? Man, we're giving away free beers every Sunday. We're giving away free gas cards and free Subway. We got people coming in like crazy. Oh, well, that's the wisdom of men. And the day is coming, verse 13, when each one's work will become clear. That means you're going to be exposed. The day, this isn't hard to understand. The day will declare it. The day when we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, which is not a day of condemnation. Praise God. There is therefore now how much condemnation? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When we all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to have our works assessed, we are not there for condemnation. Praise God. That is good news. That's the gospel, right? But there is going to be a judgment of works, and there are going to be rewards. And Paul repeatedly looked forward to the reward. And you should too. But you know what? If you spend your life, if you trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, but then you spend your life building your family and the church with the wisdom of men, you'll be saved, as he says, by the skin of your teeth. That's an amazing statement. It's like, you know, he'll be saved, but it's barely. Why is he talking about that? So that you will look to the reward. The day will declare, verse 13, it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test each one's work, what kind it is, what sort it is. And the test will be, what did you use? What did you build with? Did you build with the pure, living, abiding, precious Word of God? Or did you build with the wisdom of men? The wisdom of man will tell you how to get out of your troubles. The wisdom of man will tell you how to have a better marriage, how to raise your kids, what to do with them, what not to do with them, how to solve your problems. And boy, there's a strong temptation to use that. But it's going to come out, what you used. If anyone's work, which he has built on, endures, meaning he built with gold, silver, precious stones, which, by the way, the Word of God is repeatedly compared to those three and always said to be way better. Right? More precious than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Refined like silver, refined seven times in a furnace, Psalm 12, and the first reference of Psalm 19. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he'll suffer loss. Loss of the reward. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire, which was a common expression. Today we'd say by the skin of his teeth, by the hair of his chinny chin chin. Barely. Well, that's good news, but it's not news so that you'll say, oh, well, good. It doesn't matter how I build. No, you've already been commanded, take heed. So my advice to you, number one, be careful. The danger is departure from Christ. Number two, be wise. The danger is disaster for you in the day of judgment. Disaster that you labored in vain because you didn't labor in the Lord, in the sphere of Christ and what He says. But third, what do you think my third piece of advice is? Somebody said it. Very good. Be faithful. You should all be shouting it. Why? Because Paul was faithful. Be faithful, verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are, implied, hey, be faithful to God. Be holy. Make sure you don't do anything to defile His holy house, His holy temple, His holy church, His holy family. Make sure you don't depart from the foundation of Christ. Make sure you don't depart from the wisdom of God. Be faithful to God and His Word. And it's interesting. I hope you see the progression. First, there's the foundation, right? Foundation is Christ. Then there's the building materials, the idea of building this church, this temple of God, building with God's wisdom and not the wisdom of men, with gold, silver, and precious stones. And now the picture is, once the house is built, what do? You work to protect it from defiling influences. Once the church has been established on the foundation of Christ, once it's been built up with the pure Word of God, now what do you have to do? Now you've got to fight like crazy to make sure that somebody doesn't come in here and start defiling the family. The danger here is defilement. So take heed. You say, wait a second, there's only one command here from Paul, take heed. And you gave us three, yes. Here's why. Any one of those three can be summed up in any of those ones I just gave you. Take heed means be careful. Take heed means be wise. Take heed means be faithful. And if you're faithful, you'll be careful and wise. If you're careful, you'll be wise and faithful. And if you're the third one, you'll be the other two. You know, there were many temples in Corinth. Many. Paul did not say to all of them, you are the temple of God. There are many churches today. Not all of them are the church of God. Not all of them are founded on Christ. Not all of them are being built with the wisdom of God. And not all of them are pure. Many large churches today, the one thing they do not care about is impurity or how you live your life. Beloved, let's labor together. Let's labor together that this church should never depart from Jesus Christ as her one foundation, that this church should continually be built up with the pure Word of the living God, and that this church will be protected from all defilement. Amen. Amen. I want to make this very practical for you, so I'm going to give you homework, and here's the homework. In your bulletin, I gave you what is my own view of life and labor from the Bible, very brief. And I want to ask you for homework if you would seriously think about whether or not you could adopt it as your own. And if you can, I would encourage you to write your name on the line and post it somewhere in your house so that you will have a biblical view of life and labor based on the Bible. And let Christ be the center of and the foundation of all you are, all you think, and all you do. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We praise you for Jesus Christ. We thank you that this church has been founded on Jesus Christ. And we thank you for men and women who have labored for many, many years to build it with the pure word of God. And I pray, Father, keep us faithful. Keep us faithful for Christ's sake and for the sake of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.